thankful the Lord came to restore, to help us. I'd like to look in the book of Jeremiah, the 36th chapter, and I'll start reading it, verse 1. It said, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the books, in the book, the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. It said, and it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah. Now, I want us to notice the time element here. In the first verse, it said, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. That's the fourth year. Now, in the ninth verse, it's saying, and it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month. So there's a span of time between the time that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, and Baruch recorded all of these words from Jeremiah's mouth. He wrote in a roll of the book, he wrote the words from Jeremiah, but there was actually quite a few months passed between the time it was recorded and the time that it was read in the house of the Lord when they read it. Now, I want to tell the rest of this chapter in my own words. Baruch reads the word of the Lord. The priest, the scribes, they hear what Baruch reads. They take him aside. They said, we want to hear these words again. And they said, surely the king has to hear these words. And so they told Baruch to hide himself and Jeremiah. They said, go hide yourselves. Anyway, in the meanwhile, these words were read to the king. And this is where the king pitched the words into the fire. He took his knife, and after they read about three or four leaves, he cut it, he pitched it in the fire. They asked him not to, so they ended up having to write another book. But I want to go now to chapter 46. No, I'm not sorry, not 46, 45. Jeremiah, the 45th chapter. Now, Jeremiah is very difficult because it's not in chronological order altogether. The 45th chapter should be following the chapter that we read, 36. But it says, "The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah." So the Lord had a message for Baruch. This is a scribe. This is somebody that's interested in the word of the Lord. And I'm not for sure how it all came to pass that he ended up being connected so closely with Jeremiah. But in verse 2 it says, "So this was after the Lord gave him the words, and probably before he actually spoke the words in the house of the Lord. But it says, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold," Baruch is writing all these words down to Jeremiah. And then Jeremiah says, "I'm imprisoned. I can't go read these words." So these words, which are not very comforting, Baruch is going to, he's realizing what the position that he's in. And the Lord said to, this is what Baruch, "Thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted, I will pluck up, even this whole land." So the Lord is telling Baruch, this is the Lord's. It's not Baruch's. This is the Lord's doing. And the Lord is telling him, I can do with my own what's mine. That's what he's given him. In verse 5, he said, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest." Well, that had to be encouraging. But apparently Baruch, and it doesn't really say, "But the Lord said, And seekest thou great things for thyself." It doesn't really say what he is seeking after. It calls it great things, but he says, "Seek them not." I don't know if he was seeking after fame, reputation, financial gain, to be mighty. I don't know. I don't know really. Was it a great revival he was looking for? I don't know. It doesn't say, but the Lord just said, "Seek them not." And he said, "I will give thy life a prey to thee." So he would spare his life and protect and help him. Anyway, I've been thinking about this thought about seeking great things. A few different thoughts came to my mind. Remember, Brother Austis gave a message, and I believe I heard it on a tape. But anyway, this person called him wanting to know about their services. And he said, well, we just worship the Lord in a common, simple, ordinary way. And they said, well, what do you mean? What do you do? Well, we sing, we pray, we preach, testify. We just worship the Lord in a common way. And he soon heard a click on the other end of the phone. They weren't interested in a common, plain worship service. Apparently, people in our day aren't really interested in common worship services either. The only churches that you see that are really big, that appear big, are the ones that have the music, they have the bands, they have the flashy words upon the screen, they have worship people. The common churches aren't faring a whole lot. number-wise. But I think about the Lord has a way of working, but there's one scripture that talks about no flesh glorying in His presence. You know, the Lord has a way of working and doing things that's beyond many times what we see, what we know, and what we understand. Sometimes we feel like maybe the Lord's not doing much or doing anything, but I don't believe that this morning. I believe that God is still working. He's still moving in the hearts of people. He's still calling, I believe, after people. C.W. Naylor, he calls it his dream message, and I've mentioned this before. It has stood out to me, but he had this dream of seeing this lattice and these beautiful flowers that were on them. And he kept reaching up higher and higher. And you know, there was some up there that was just, they looked so beautiful. They were just above his reach. And he was reaching and pressing for them. But he looked down and he saw the ones that he had in his hand. He'd crushed them. The petals were falling off. He had crushed them in reaching for something that was beyond. The Lord spoke to him through that dream to enjoy the blessings that you have. Enjoy what I have given you. Don't allow things to be crushed. The beautiful things that I've given you in reaching out for things that you don't have. And I believe there's something very important for us to be content with what God has given to us. I know over and over it seems like in the Jewish people, they were always looking for a great sign from heaven that Jesus was the Son of God. You know, the song they sang about this morning, he didn't come in royalty. He didn't come. I think I probably would have struggled too. You know, this man declaring himself to be the Son of God, to be able to forgive sins, and to see his poverty. There was no beauty that we should desire him, to see his lowly station. I think I probably would have struggled too with believing that this is the very Son of God. From, you know, the things that he said. He said, I'm from above, you're from beneath. I came down from heaven. It would have been hard to I believe it would have been hard to wrap your mind around. I believe it would have been a struggle to see him in the flesh and to believe that he was who he said he was. I feel like I probably would have struggled with it. I don't know. Maybe we wouldn't have struggled as much as we thought we would. Born into poverty, I'm sure Joseph died. The scripture don't really say much about it. I'm sure he died. the difficulties that they faced. The Isaiah says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we understand now better that he was bearing our sorrows and that he was experiencing the lowest parts to be able to succor and help us and to be a blessing to us. But I believe it would have been difficult for us to see him in the flesh and to see probably the disciples too, the ragtag. You know, they're here, they are arguing who was going to be the greatest, and you know, they were men. They had faults. They wanted to send fire down from heaven. He said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you're of." He had to correct them, and over and over and over, he had to correct them. They were sending children away. How many mothers would have been happy with that? How many mothers would have benefited? They sent my child away. He corrected them on that. Don't send the children away. Suffer them. Allow them to come unto. I know they were trying to protect and help Jesus. But if we saw that ragtag crew, Jesus, it may have been hard for us also to receive and visualize that he was the Son of God, who he was. But they were looking for something great. And Jesus didn't come that way. They were looking for someone to lead them against the Roman Empire, to make their country great again like it was under the leadership of the Lord and David. You know, it spoke of Christ that he would reign upon the throne of David. They were expecting greatness, and they missed it. They missed it. So Lord, help us today. There's a verse I wanted to get, Romans the 12th chapter. Now, I'm encouraged, I guess, with Barak. He went and read the word of the Lord. He did what God told him to do, what God told him to do from Jeremiah. This instruction, I believe, was right after the Lord had given him those words, and Barak was struggling in his heart. This is going to, probably thinking this is going to frustrate and tear up my future. When he looked out in the days ahead, if I go read this, it don't look very good for me. My future don't look very good. But you know, Barak, when it came time, and it was months later, when it came time to read the word of the Lord, Barak did. He went and he read the word of the Lord. He read it before the people. There was a place where they stood as the people were coming in. They could hear. He read it to the people. He read it again to the priest. So Barak, I believe he received. But he said, "Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest." But the Lord spoke to him, encouraged him. He said, "I've given, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey." That was a good thing the Lord blessed him with, was life, because there was many people that had lost their lives. Romans the 12th chapter, there's a verse I wanted to get. Romans the 12th chapter and the 16th verse. He said, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceits. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." I wanted to read a little bit of Adam Clark's commentary on this. Now, I wanted to, Brother Clifford Wilson, one time he said in the message, and I don't know if I fully understood it then, but he made comment. He said, "Don't try to do extraordinary things." He said, "Just be faithful in doing ordinary things." That was in a message he gave us there at Four Corners. He said, don't try to do extraordinary things. Just do the ordinary things. Be faithful at the ordinary things that God gives to us. You know, that's an encouraging thought to me today, that all I have to do is fill the small place that God gives to me. I don't have to fill somebody else's shoes. I don't have to fill someone else's place. All I've got to do is fill the small place faithfully that God wants me to fill, and then go to heaven. That's all we have to do. Just fill the small place that God has for us. Be faithful in the ordinary small things that He has for us. And that's all He's asking us to do. Leah read that. She quoted that verse on our Bible app. It was yesterday. It was, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justice, to love mercy, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Nothing great, nothing. It is great in a sense. I mean, it's a high calling. But it's just doing the small things that God has commanded us to do, the little things that He tells us to do, the things that He lays on our hearts. Adam Clark, he mentions, he says, undermine not high things. He says, be not ambitious. Affect nothing above your station. Do not court the rich nor the powerful. Do not pass by the poor man to pay your court to the great man. Do not affect titles or worldly distinctions, much less sacrifice your conscience for them. The attachment to high things and high men is the vice of little shallow minds. That stood out to me. The attachment to high things and high men is the vice of little shallow minds. You know, it's many times it's thinking about what we'll get in return. And we don't want to be motivated by that. But condescend to men of low estate. Be a companion of the humble. Pass through life with as little noise and show as possible. Be a companion of the humble. And pass through life with as little noise and show as possible. Let the poor, godly man be your chief companion. And learn from his humility and piety to be humble and godly. The term which we translate condescend from together, he has the Greek word there, together, to lead, signifies to be led, carried, or dragged away to prison with another. And points out the state in which the primitive Christians were despised and rejected of men, and often led forth to prison and death. False or man-pleasing professors would endeavor to escape all this disgrace and danger by getting into the favor of the great, the worldly, and the irreligious. There have not been wanting in all ages of the church persons who, losing the savor of divine things from their own souls, by drinking into a worldly spirit, have endeavored to shun the reproach of the cross by renouncing the company of the godly, speaking evil of the way of life, and perhaps sitting down in the chair of the scorner with apostates like themselves. And yet, strange to tell, these men will keep up a form of godliness. For a descent outside is often necessary to enable them to secure the ends of their ambitions. It says, be not wise in your own conceits. Be not puffed up with an opinion of your own consequence. For this will prove that the consequence itself is imaginary. Be not wise by yourselves. Do not suppose that wisdom and discernment dwell alone with you. believe that you stand in need both of help and instruction from others. You know, I was just thinking of that thought of, you know, he said, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. There in Revelations, he told the one congregation, he said, because you say I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you're miserable, you're wretched, you're poor, and you're blind. You know, our pride can blind our eyes spiritually. It can hinder us from seeing ourselves. And he said, believe that you have need. Believe that you need others. Believe, and he says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. If we ever come to the place where I don't need anything, then we're not going to be able to learn and see what God has for us. When I look back in my life, I have seen places of pride, spiritual pride, and I feel like the Lord has been notching me down. I feel like sometimes we don't see these things. Sometimes it's hard to see them. But I noticed different writings that Paul spoke towards the Jewish people, different of his writings to them. He said, you know, boastest thyself. I'm not for sure where that verse is. But they were proud people. The Jewish people was a proud nation. God had done many things for them. The Lord had worked and done many things for them, but it shouldn't have been a source of pride. And John the Baptist, in one place, he said, don't say within your heart that we have Abraham as our father. We're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's lineage. You know, we're the cream of the crop. We've arrived. We've got it. He said, don't say that. When we've arrived, when we're the top, then we fail to receive what God has for us to help us to be able to see. We sing, there's a song we've had it on the CD. I don't know, I just flip it on. I don't feel trying to find another CD. Leah's been gone, so she don't have to hear the same songs over and over. But one song brings out the statement. He said, I finally learned that I can't even walk without you holding my hand. You know, it starts out, he said, I felt like I can do the man thing. Felt like I was strong. Felt like I would conquer. At the end of the song, he said, I found out I can't even walk. I thought you held my hands. That's how dependent we are. He said, except you become as children, shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Lord, help us today to be able to have the things that God has for us. I appreciate the Lord's faithfulness. I appreciate, I'm not looking to do great things. Just want to be faithful. Appreciate your attention.